Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
644, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Nice stretch of weather ahead, no snow, and really Chamber of Commerce weather for next week, which is really good, at least up until Wednesday as it stands now with the Super Bowl coming to town. Daniel Erspammer joins us now, CEO of the Pelican Institute. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right. Tell me about the snow. How'd you make out?
We did pretty well. You know, my wife and I were supposed to head up to Washington Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. So we got delayed a few days, but gosh, our kids had a great time. We got about 10 inches in our front yard, and it was fun while it lasted. Then I was ready for it to go.
Tell me about the Mardi Gras. Did you get there ever?
We finally got there. We got there on Friday. We were supposed to be there Tuesday. It was great. It was a good party. The congressional delegation was in good spirits. It was good to see everybody. And King Rico Alvendia, of course, with his duty, honor, Louisiana theme. It was a great tribute to the troops. And it was a good time all around.
Let's talk about the importance of, since you mentioned it, of Steve Scalise and the Speaker of the House in the positions that they are and what that could mean for Louisiana. Mike Johnson.
It's just incredible. I mean, you look at our delegation punching above its weight. Speaker Johnson obviously has navigated a very challenging tightrope walk, and we'll see how that goes. But not only the Speaker and the Majority Leader, but Congresswoman Letlow is on the Appropriations Committee. Senator Cassidy will be chairing the Health, Education, and Labor Committee. Senator Kennedy, of course, on the powerful Judiciary Committee. So in terms of delegations Congressman Carter co-chairing the Congressional Black Caucus. So, you know, these are for a small state like us.
You got that right. That is disproportionate, really, if you look at it, being honest, Daniel, don't you think?
Absolutely it is, and it's a testament to the talent of those men and women, but certainly punching above our weight class there.
All right, so Louisiana Comeback Agenda is almost 2 years old now. How have things gone? What was the focus in the first 2 years? What still needs to be done? Give me a report card on that.
Yeah, it's gone pretty well. You know, if you look at the main components, our top two priorities were putting in place the structure of what became the L.A. Gator Education Scholarship Account Program and a significant transformation of our tax code to lower taxes, simplify the structure, and clean up some of those punishing taxes like the franchise tax. The legislature made progress on removing occupational licensure regulations that are unnecessary, that don't actually protect public safety, and allowing people who are in good standing and skilled and licensed in other states to have a fast track to get licensed here. So lots of really good things here in the first year and a half, or a little bit over a year. Coming up next, we've got to get that Gator program actually implemented, funded, and going so we can get kids into the schools that fit them best. We've got to really tackle spending prioritization, get that budget in shape so that we can continue to lower taxes and continue that process of simplification, and really start to tackle the administrative state regulatory reform, remove red tape so that we can really let people flourish here in Louisiana.
When you say kids find the school that fits them best, that's a phrase. I understand it, the phrase, but what exactly does that look like? What does that mean to specific kids in specific schools, Daniel?
Yeah, what that means is, we've made a commitment in our country, in our society, to fund education, to ensure that children in Louisiana get a good quality education. And what we failed to realize is, as this basically this structure of education has been in place for over 100 years in our country, that, even the very best school in the world may not be a fit for some kids. So recognizing that, what we've proposed and what the LA Gator program puts into place is to allow dollars to follow the child to the school that fits them best. And that could be a private school, a parochial school, a public charter school, a traditional public school, a homeschool program, or some hybrid mix of all of those that that fits them best. What we know is parents know best for their kids way better than just zoning everybody by zip code.
And I guess I'm wondering, when it comes to things like the professional licensure and this, I guess, simplifying the tax code somewhat, how much work needs to be done, and at what point does that begin to show results, or has it yet?
Well, we've already started to see some results. We've been on the leading edge of recruiting new data centers. Of course, the big announcement, the Meta data center up in Northeast Louisiana for $10 billion investment there. You talk to local parish leaders around the state, they are starting to get more and more interest in business and jobs moving to those places. There's more work to be done, though, but we're already starting to see the fruits of some of that labor. But if we can continue to push that ball forward, look, we're competing in an environment that's not static. Mississippi, the governor there just yesterday called, and the House has passed a bill that would eliminate their personal income tax. Arkansas is on their way to doing that. Of course, Texas, Tennessee, Florida, all around us. So we're starting to catch up. We were way behind. Now we've got to keep going so we don't get behind again.
Let me take a break. We'll pay it when we come back. Talk about insurance. 6:50, 10 till 7. Mm-hmm. Traffic now, WWL. 6:56, 4 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Tuesday morning. Back with Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. Talking about Louisiana comeback agenda. Almost 2 years old. Talking about what's been done, what's already been done. You can find out more at pelicanpolicy.org/reports/Louisiana's comeback agenda. Daniel, real quick before we move on to insurance, somebody texted in, and I like to get the audience involved in this. Somebody said, call the LA Gator program what it is, a tax break for parents that already send their kids to private schools. Your thoughts on that texter's comment?
Yeah, we hear that a lot, and it's just fundamentally not true. You look at the facts here. First of all, the first round of kids who are eligible to participate in Gator are those who are the least affluent in our community. If you're 250% of poverty or lower, these are the families that are, some of them are already in private schools because they scrape together, grandparents, aunts and uncles chip in, and they sacrifice to make school tuition the top of their priority list. But this is an ability that every child has the opportunity, regardless of what zip code they live in, regardless of, having to buy an expensive house in a nice neighborhood. Every kid should have the opportunity, and that's just flat out fair. So the idea that we're bringing class warfare into this, it just really doesn't fit with the outcomes we're seeing all around the country of these programs.
But what would you say, class warfare? That's a kind of explosive term, I guess. Do you think that the text really meant class warfare, or?
Well, maybe not. And you're right. I should be more gracious.
Yeah. I think that the concern is that it would be eventually there will be credits for people or subsidies for people that are already paying private school tuition, and at some point that is going to kick in. That's factual, right, or not?
That will take place. We also subsidize high-income families to send their kids to public schools. The question is, should we have a bias toward just one type of school, or should we make our education system available to any type of situation so that, again, the environment that the family picks will fit those kids best? And it's not about income level. It's not about private schools or public schools. It's about making sure if we're going to commit to an excellent public education, that every child has the same opportunity.
Let's move on to taxes. That to me is the top thing on the table, whether it's auto rates or whether it's homeowners, even flood, which is, you know, beyond your control. But tell me what can be done about that, or what are your goals and sights set on the plan to lower the insurance rates here, because it's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy and out of control. And, you know, to their credit, the legislature has really been digging into this issue. We recommend a few things. One, of course, you've got to tackle the legal abuse that we have in the system. Two, you've got to really make some smart regulatory changes. We've got to encourage more companies to underwrite here. If we can do that, and we can get the trial lawyers out of the business of abusing the existing system, we can lower rates, and that won't happen overnight, but over the next couple of years, we'll begin to see it.
All right, thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it. Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk to our friend Walter Dublane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO. We'll talk about tariffs. How do they work? What does the president want to do, President Trump? And to give credit where credit's due, his Columbia gambit, if you will, with the tariffs as far as accepting deportees, kind of work. Then we'll talk with Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy, about three words, and those are drill, baby, drill.